is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. And so I'm asking right now in Jesus' name that you will use me to not just pour your word out, but to explain it in a way that understanding will take root in our hearts. And Father, as understanding takes root, our lives will bear fruit. So I thank you for a manifestation of hearing your voice in our lives anytime we need it. And I thank you in advance for signs, miracles, and wonders following our lives as a result of your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray that everybody say, amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Well, we're in a series called Noise Cancellation. Less noise, hear God. Everybody say, less noise, less noise. And hear God. And the series is centered around you and I learning how to remove or reduce the noise that's around us so that we can hear God's voice clearly. Because if you have too much noise in your life, you will not hear God the way you need to. You and I, we must learn to cultivate. Everybody say cultivate. We must learn to cultivate our spiritual ears so that we stay tuned into the Holy Spirit and what He's wanting to say and what He's wanting to do. And so what we've learned so far is that the Holy Spirit, He is our spiritual Wi-Fi connection. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit is my spiritual Wi-Fi connection. He is our spiritual Wi-Fi connection to the Father. And the closer you and I stay with Him, the easier it is to hear. It's no different than in the natural. If you had an electronic device that was connected to a Wi-Fi system, and that device got too far away from the Wi-Fi source, two things are going to happen. Either that signal is going to get weak, or that signal will eventually get disconnected. Where First Lady and I live, we live up in the hills. And so anytime I call her or she calls me on the way home or leaving home, the chances of us getting a bad connection is going to be high. You know why? Because for some reason, the signal towers in that area is not strong. And it's the same way with us. When you and I, if we get too far away, or let me say it this way, when you and I grieve the Holy Spirit, it makes it harder for us to hear Him and to receive from Him. Say amen to that. And one of the ways that we grieve Him, of course, we grieve Him through sin. And that's why you need to keep your sin count low so that you can, so your hearing can go up. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to turn, keep your sin count low. Go on and tell them. You need to lower it. Some of you all, you out there too much. And you feel like it doesn't matter. It does matter. Your signal strength, your Wi-Fi connection is being grieved when you out there. All right, yeah. Amen. And see, the goal is not just for us to hear God's voice. That's not the goal only. But the goal is also for us to be led by His voice. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led, everybody say led. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, read this part with me, they are the sons of God. That word led means to direct or to lead someone to a specific destination. And being led is one of the ways that God speaks to us. He speaks to us by leading us. And being led happens through what I'm going to call and introduce inner promptings. Everybody say inner promptings. Inner promptings. And 3 years ago, this was right when we were coming out of the pandemic. We had to introduce SHARE. And at that time, I was overseeing SHARE. And I was praying about who needed to be the speaker for SHARE to kick it right, to kick it back off or to restart it. And I'll never forget, the Holy Spirit dropped a name in my spirit. It just dropped the name in my spirit. And the name he dropped was Priscilla Shire. Now, I thought to myself when he dropped that name in my spirit, I said, boy, she would be great, but that lady is booked until Jesus comes. So I was like, there's no way I'm going to get this lady. So, you know, what you have to understand is that God doesn't need to provide favor for something you haven't pursued. I'm looking for favor to buy a house. Well, if you're not pursuing the house, favor don't need to show up. Amen. If you need a new car and you're praying, God, give me favor for a car, but you're not pursuing the car, he does not need to give you favor for something you're not pursuing. So I didn't let the thought of her being booked until Jesus comes keep me from pursuing. So I'll never forget what I did. In fact, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, they're going to put it up here because I want to point something out to you. Because I feel like a lot of us are expecting God to move in areas we're not pursuing. I know you're praying about it, but when you going to do something about it? Matthew 7, 7 says this. Ask, and what happens, church? It shall be given. I want you to notice now that shall be given doesn't come before asking. So I went to Pastor Lisa. I did the formality. I said, Pastor Lisa, can you get a hold of Priscilla Shire's office and put a request in for her to do our SHARE event? Well, they told Pastor Lisa that she was not taking any additional engagements for the next 2 years. I was like, whoa, that lady is pretty busy. So then I thought, okay, well, who else could I invite? And the moment I had that thought, everybody say thought. The moment I had that thought, the same prompting said, no, stay in faith for what I told you. So I kept praying about it. And in the meantime, David and Tamla Mann reached out to me to use our facility because at the time she was releasing a new album, which she hadn't done in like 10 years or whatever it was. And, you know, normally we don't let people, you know, use our facility. We don't do that. It's just not common practice. So don't come and ask me, you know. I mean, we do for members like funerals and weddings and that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about outside things and, you know, because if you do it for one church, you have to do it for who? You have to do it for all. But for some reason, I felt peace to let them do that. So I let them utilize the facility. Because, see, I consider them as family. I've been knowing them for 20 years. So they're really like my brothers and sisters. And so, anyway, let me give you a principle of giving. This has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but it does. Here's a principle of giving. In order to receive favor, you have to give some. So what I didn't know is, lo and behold, Tamla and Priscilla Shire were best buddies. I didn't know that. So the moment, the day the event came, I'll never forget, someone on the staff called and said, Priscilla Shire is here. I said, really? Now, they were using my office as the VIP, you know, to because she had guests coming in from all over the country. So, you know, they had VIPs. And so my office was the VIP. I said, well, can you let her know the host of the conference would like to meet her? See, when you're trying to talk to somebody important, you speak in third party terms. So anyway, she comes to the office, and I get a chance to talk to her about what I prayed about. I say, listen here, listen, this is what we're doing. We need to re-kick off our women's ministry. And I was praying. I really felt you're the right person for this. I say, but here's all I want you to do is one thing. I said, I just want you to pray about it. You ain't got to do nothing else. In fact, you just pray one time. I said, just pray about it. And whatever the Lord tells you to do, that's what I want you to do. So she gave me her husband's email address to put the request formally in writing. So here it is. I'm bypassing her regular system. Everybody say, favor ain't fair. So anyway, we come in, and I didn't know, you know, they had designated seating, and of course they're going to give the pastor a great seat because it's his church, right? I would hope they would. So they have me sitting up here at the front, and guess who they had me sitting right next to? Priscilla Shire. I said, oh, I see what the Lord is doing now. So anyway, as the event goes forward, toward the end, she leaned over to me. Lean on your neighbor. Just lean on him. Lean on him, because it's going to come into play in just a minute. Yeah. She leaned over, and she said to me, I heard what you said in there, and I'm going to definitely pray about it. Well, the rest is history. She was our guest, and not only was she our guest, that particular share event has the highest number of YouTube views that our church has had doing anything. Right? Yes. So you say, well, what's your point, Pastor? But my point is that God speaks through promptings. Which leads us now to this lesson that I'm doing today. And I'm going to title today's lesson as, is it God, is it gas, or is it me? Everybody say, is it God, is it gas, or is it me? All right. So, and then let me give you a subtitle, because I know that was too much for some of y'all. Here's the subtitle, Discerning God's Voice for My Life. So let me give you a short recap real quickly. I divided God speaking into two categories. The first category was primary, and the second one was a secondary category. And the first primary way that we talked about God speaking to us is through his word. In Psalm 103 verse 20, which is what we use, they're going to put it on the screen. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, and these angels do his commandments. But these angels also hearken to the what, church? To the what? They hearken to the voice of his word. So God's main way that he wants to speak to us is through his word. So let me give you another example of this as we move on, because it's going to help me with our first point. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. And this just shows that God wants to speak to us through his word. 1 Kings 19 verse 9 in the King James says, and this was Elijah who was running away from Jezebel. He ran into this cave to hide, and so that's where we pick up the verse. It says, and he came to the cave, and he lodged or stayed there. And behold, watch this, the word of the Lord came to him. Notice it didn't say the voice of the Lord came to him. It said the word of the Lord came to him. And that's why if you and I ignore the written word, chances are we will ignore his verbal word. So that leads us now to our first point, and that is, if you're taking notes, we must lean because God doesn't scream. Everybody say, we must lean because God doesn't scream. Remember the story we read, one of our first stories about Samuel and how he was living with Eli and how God came to him and spoke to him while he was laying down to sleep. And three of the times that he went, God spoke to him, he got up and he went to Eli and said, hey, you call me. But here's something I want you to notice out of the story as we jump into this. I want you to notice that Samuel heard God speaking, but Eli didn't. Which says, watch this, church, that God was talking loud enough for Samuel to hear him, but low enough where Eli couldn't hear him. Everybody's not going to hear what you hear. Amen. Everybody say, when you are near, God helps you hear. One more time, say, when you are near, God helps you hear. Because, church, God doesn't scream. His voice is still. His voice is small. Now, we're going to read one more account of this because I need to get in your heart today. I need you to move away from, if God wants me to know, he'll scream at me. He's not going to do like your mama did. Look at your neighbor and say, is he talking about your mama? So now, Elijah, I'm setting it up. He's in this cave. And so let's see what happens in verse 11, King James Version. And he said, go forth. This was God talking to Elijah. He said, go forth and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and there was a great and strong wind which tore the mountains and broke the mountains in pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, then an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a what? A fire. But the Lord was not in that fire. And after the fire, it was a what? Still small voice. Most of the time, all the loud voices are not what God is saying to you. Notice I said loud voices. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12 in the New Living Translation. It says, and after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was this sound of a gentle whisper. Listen now in the voice translation. After the earthquake was over, there was a fire. This was not a divine fire, for the eternal was not within the fire. After the fire died out, there was nothing but the sound of a calm breeze. Watch this, church. And through this breeze, a gentle, quiet voice entered Elijah's ears. God's voice is not loud. God's voice is peaceful. It's settling. And you have to understand now, sometimes God's going to speak where you are, though. If you speak Spanish, he's going to speak to you in Spanish. If you're from the hood, he's going to talk to you like you're from the hood. He does not talk in King James unless that's your preference. Now, this brings us to our second point, which is God talks in thoughts. Everybody say, God talks in thoughts. Now, when you and I got born again, the Holy Spirit came and lived on the inside of us. And one of his roles is to communicate God's will, God's thoughts, and God's purposes from the Father to us. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 26 in the New Living Translation. It tells us the role of the Holy Spirit. It says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, Jesus said, that is the Holy Spirit, he, the advocate or the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything everything, and he will remind you of everything that I have told you. So the Holy Spirit will communicate with us in three different areas. Number one, he's going to bring back to our minds the things that we have heard or learned of that he's said. So if he's going to remind us of something, how is he going to do that? He's going to do that through thoughts, because that's where remembering takes place. Number two, he's going to lead us and guide us into truth. John 16, 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, watch what's going to happen. He's going to guide us into all truth. Well, how does he do that? He's going to do that through his word, or he's going to do that through God's thoughts. For he shall not speak of himself, but of whatever he shall hear, that is what he's going to speak. And watch this. Here's another role. And he will show us things to come. So the third role of the Holy Spirit is to show us futuristic things. That's where the prophetic comes in. Amen. So how will he do this? Well, we know he uses words to do this, or God's word. That's one way he's going to do it, because that's God's primary way to speak to us. And see, there are too many examples in the Bible that tells us that. In fact, Acts chapter 13, I'm just going to give you one example. It says, and this is when there was a gathering of some believers together, and it says, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria was Barnabas, so Barnabas was there, Simeon, who was called the black man. So we know his race. He was the black man. When you look it up in the King James, it's actually the word there is N-I-G-E-R. Yeah. I'm not joking. Just go back and read it. I decided to use this version because I didn't want to use the N-word while I was preaching. Even though I would have pronounced it Niger. So Barnabas was there, Simeon, who's called the black man, was there, Lucius was there from Cyrene, Manan was there, he was a childhood companion of King Herod, and even Saul. And one day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, let's read this part together. The Holy Spirit said. So we know the Holy Spirit talks. So in this situation, the Holy Spirit said. So let me just say this. If you really want an answer from the Holy Spirit and you ain't getting it, I would encourage you to do two things. Fast and pray. If it's that important to you, why don't you turn your plate over, let your flesh die so your spirit can hear. Amen. So the Holy Spirit said, appointed to Barnabas and Saul the work that I've called them to do. And then it says, after more fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So in addition to speaking, he also speaks in thoughts. And here's my point today, because some of you are ignoring thoughts that you're getting, not realizing these are thoughts that God's trying to download into you. And the way he brings this, way he uses these thoughts is by way of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, God talks in thoughts. And see, if you've been following me, you know, through the series, you realize that I lost one of my brushes. I'm a waver. Well, see, when you're a serious waver, see, some of y'all are not wavers. Y'all are ripplers. You don't have waves. You don't have waves. You have ripples. Okay? I have waves. And when you have waves, the brush is important. And so, you know, first week I prayed about the brush. And see, some of y'all are going, why are you going to pray about it? See, that's the problem. Many of you don't feel like you should involve God in small things of your life. But what you fail to realize is that those small things give you time to practice hearing his voice. Practice on some socks. Lord, where are these socks at? Let him talk to you. Right? So I had lost this brush. And so the first week, you know, and then I told, you know, first lady, the second week, and y'all heard me say, you know, I asked her what she wanted me to pray for her about. She was like, I just pray about finding your brush. So first lady surrendered her whole prayer life around my brush, right? So third week goes by, and then so last week, first lady was like, babe, just buy you another brush. Just, it ain't like I ain't got the money to buy the brush. And I was like, but you don't understand. This brush is broke in. It knows which waves are where. It's broken in. So everybody say, God talks in thoughts. So, Friday, I got a thought. And now you have to understand, I done looked everywhere I needed to look. Asking it shall be given. Seeking you shall what? I wasn't finding though. So I'm looking for this brush. I'm looking everywhere. But this thought comes to me. And the thought was, look in places it not supposed to be. Huh. Look for the brush of where it's not supposed to be. Okay? So the first place I look is, First Lady has like this like secret closet area in our closet. It's a closet within a closet. Okay? So it's like a secret area. So my stuff is never in there. But I say I'm going to go in there because the thought was, what was the thought? Go look somewhere where it ain't supposed to be. So I look in there and I'm looking around and I'm thinking she gonna come in here and be like, babe, why are you looking at my stuff? I'm gonna tell her, hey, I'm looking for my brush. So I get there and look in there, don't find it. So this thought comes to me, Go look under the cabinet where that's on her side of the bathroom. So I'm like, okay. So she has a cabinet. You know how men and women had their own different areas? So there's, you know, so I go in her area and I open it up. And by the way, in that area is like our Wi-Fi system. You know, the equipment is up there. I don't know why the original people put the Wi-Fi up there, but it's up there in this cabinet, right? But also, that's where she keep her travel stuff. So she has this thing that when we travel, she don't have to go pack stuff. It's already there, you know? And so I removed her travel stuff, and lo and behold, my brush is in the back of there. My brush. So I thought, how in the world did this brush? Because we'd have never found it until we traveled again. So what it was is, above the cabinet, there's a drawer. And in that drawer, we keep some brushes. Some of my brushes over there, because I got several brushes. Some over there, and some in another place, and some in another place. And I guess what happened is, there was so many brushes in there, it fell behind the drawer. Well, you say, well, Pastor, why are you telling us about this brush? I'm not telling you about the brush. I'm trying to tell you how God told me what a brush was. Everybody say, God talks in thoughts. So here's the million-dollar question. How do we distinguish God's thoughts from ours? That's the real good question. So here's point number three, and that is, we must learn to discern. Everybody say, we must learn to discern. Now, you and I, we have access of God's way of thinking because we know God thinks, because the scripture says in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, says his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. So we know God thinks. Well, how do we access God's way of thinking? Well, there are two major ways: through his word, but we also access the way God thinks is through the mind of Christ. Because the scripture tells us in the New Testament, we have the mind of Christ. Well, how do we access the mind of Christ? By way of the Holy Spirit. And this is why you really have to make sure you're not grieving him, because he possesses the mind of Christ. Amen. So here's the thing. However our minds, or whatever state that our minds are in, is what's going to help us discern God's thoughts. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in the New Living Translation says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a what kind of person? A new person. How is he going to do that? Read it with me, church. By changing the way that you think. So listen, the only way you're going to have a transformed life is to experience transformed thinking. And the only way that we're going to learn God's will for our life is, let me finish reading the verse. He says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So you probably were wondering, what is this up here? Okay, so listen. The Bible tells us we are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. Now, here's the thing. When you and I, before we were born again, sinners, this piece of them is dead. It's dead. Now, when I say dead, I mean it's dead towards God. And this is the part of them, this is the part of a person. In fact, the Bible also calls this heart. Because heart is spirit. So the heart of a person, or the spirit of the person, is the part of the person that goes to hell or heaven. Amen. When you and I get born again, that spirit part of us goes to heaven. If we're not born again, that part of us goes where? Unfortunately, it goes to hell. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get the hell out of you. Go on and tell them. Get it out. Get it out. So these three parts of us. Here is the challenging part. All three parts of these are connected to each other. In fact, let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Let me see how much time. Ooh. All right, here we go. It says, watch this. It says, it is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He, God, has commissioned us. Watch verse 22. And he's also identified us as his own, watch this, by placing the Holy Spirit where, church? Where does he put it? So the Holy Spirit, watch this now, he's inside here. But here's the challenge. This part of me right here, watch this, did not get saved. Can y'all see that? It didn't get saved. So watch this. This part of me is carnal until I decide to train it to be spiritual. Are you all following me so far? So that's why if I don't renew this, we just read, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, where's your mind? Your soul consists of your mind, your will, your thoughts, and how you feel, or your emotions, right? That's what that is. So if this part of me is not renewed, it's going to influence this right here. So now when the Spirit is telling me to do something, if this is not renewed, I'm gonna struggle to obey. Are you all with me so far? So watch this now. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, watch what it says. This is so good. It says, for the word of God, it's quick. The word is powerful. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word pierces or divides asunder or apart. It divides the soul from what? So here's the thing. When God starts talking to you through thoughts, right? Because I'm trying to help you decide, determine who is you and if it's God. The word of God is the only thing. Everybody say the only thing. The word of God is the only thing that could separate these two right here. So if I don't have the word in me, it cannot divide my soul from my spirit. And that's why it's so difficult to know, is this me or is it God? You don't have enough word in you to discern the difference. Then you say, well, Pastor, what about when God is talking to us about something that ain't in the Bible? Like your brush. There's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt find your brush in the cabinet on Teresa's side. Eben chapter 1 verse 1. It's not in the Bible. So this is where these promptings, when God does speak, the reason people are challenged between is it God if it's me? Because first of all, if you don't have a word foundation, because that's his primary. I'm so proud of one of my men. One of our men's getting ready to get married or take that next step, but before he took the step, he felt uneasy about it. He came to me, he said, Pastor, I'm feeling kind of uneasy about this next step. He said, what should I do? I said, you should do what I'm teaching you. I said, what's God's main way to speak to you? He said, you say it through the word. I said, so this week you need to ask God to speak to you on what you need to do. Well, guess what? The next day he sends me this devotion, and in the devotion it talked about a man getting married to the bride, and that confirmed in him, okay son, that's what I want you to do. See, but a lot of us, we don't have that, or let's just say it ain't something that's in the Bible, like you can't find your keys or whatever. How do you distinguish between your voice and his voice? Are you ready? Here it makes it really easy. You distinguish your voice from his voice by asking him, is this you, Lord? Now, you hear, you know, in the New Testament says, try the spirit and see if it's of God. Well, when I was hearing, I heard all kind of stuff when I was looking for my brush. I thought at one point it was in between the couch. So I looked under every couch we got in the house. Couch, couch. I even called Pastor Jonathan. He can ask him. I said, hey, can you go look in between my couch in my office and see if my brush is in there? Well, it wasn't in there. Guess what? Watch this. Because the soul and spirit are so close, I didn't say it was God. I'm trying the spirit.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. That's good.
Now, Let me go. Okay. So let me show you how close these are. I'm out of time. Let me show you how close these things are. Let me reference a story. This is found in Matthew 16, verse 13. This is when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say I am? And so they all said this. And then Peter, in fact, let's just go ahead and show the verse. Let's go to verse 17. Okay, good. It says, and Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said, oh, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father was just there in heaven. What he's saying, he said, these two didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but this did. Yes. But watch this. Let me show you how close these two things are. Because in the same conversation, Peter, now Jesus starts telling them, hey, I'm getting ready to die. This is what's going to happen to me. And so now verse 21 tells us what Peter's response was. Verse 22, Peter took him and rebuked him and said, let it be far from you, Lord. This is not going to happen to you. And so watch this. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, what? Wow, he went from hearing from God to hearing from the devil. And this is why you have to have, let me just say this. I'm all over the place right now because I want to go somewhere I can't go. I might have to do this again. All right, so watch this. When God spoke to Samuel, how many times did he call Samuel? He really called him four. Because the fourth time is when he said, hey, tell him to speak, Lord, and your servants listen. So how many times did God speak to Samuel? Okay, so watch this. If God really wants you to know something and he know you ain't heard him, he'll at least go up to four. The question is, are you going to ask for four? Or are you going to run with your feelings? Oh, I know God want me to marry him. Well, I don't know about that, sister. How many times did God speak to Samuel? Four times. So God don't have a problem repeating himself. Especially if it's something he wants you to know about his will. The question is, are we going to be patient enough and are we going to be trusting enough to let God say what he needs to say? And let me tell you something, what I do know, and because God used Eli to at least confirm what God said to Samuel. Who's confirming some things in your life? Who is an authorized user? So how are we going to practice this? Because I didn't get where I wanted to go. Maybe second service, I'll figure it out. Here we go. Let's apply this real quick because I'm out of time. How are you going to apply what I'm teaching? First of all, practice hearing by asking. Practice hearing by asking. Ask him for some stuff. Ask him. Lord, now you don't have to be like, Lord, what clothes do I wear? Well, the Lord is saying some. He's saying some. Okay, so practice hearing by asking, just like I did the brush. Number two, yield to conviction. In other words, if there are some areas in your life and you feel conviction about it, don't override that conviction, because if you override the conviction, you're going to override him speaking to you. See, he wants us to do what we know to do, because if we do that, then he knows we will do what he wants us to do. So you got to yield to conviction. Here's number three. God will always reconfirm what he said by reminding us. He'll reconfirm that. Number four, God will use authorized others to confirm his will for our life. Amen. And then number five, weigh what you heard and compare it to God's word. If it's something like the brush, then you're going to have to get confirmation and try the spirit. You're going to have to do that. Now, you say, well, I believe God wants me to move to Japan. Okay. What's in Japan? Well, he didn't tell me that, Pastor. Then you need to pray about it until he makes it plain and clear in his word. He said, well, Pastor, I ain't heard him say nothing. Then don't do nothing. Why are you moving on something in the name of he ain't said nothing? When you shouldn't do something you're not supposed to do. It's just like your kids. They just grab your keys and go to H-E-B, and they 10 years old. Well, why'd you do that? I just felt led to do it, mama. Well, how about feeling this whooping that I'm going to lead on you? Okay, so did y'all get something out of the lesson today? Okay. All right. With every head bowed and every eye closed.